Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is Unfiltered. Unfiltered. Here's John Granato and Sean Salisbury on ESPN 97.5.
David Johnson out 2 to 3 months. There's that. That came down a while ago. Adam Schefter is now confirming. David Johnson, 2 to 3 months. Congratulations.
It's a bummer.
All you fantasy people.
Great football player.
Great football player. And scene. That happens all the time. Fantasy football blows. Now, see, that's why you should play DraftKings, because you can take a different running back next week.
Yep, that's why you should. Well, I'll save mine for my... I don't have another fantasy game you can play.
Oh, you do?
I'll save it for later.
Welcome in. Del, do you have a little soundbite of Bill O'Brien talking about...
We don't do knee-jerk stuff here, John, on sport, football. We make no knee-jerk decisions football-wise in this town.
So if you didn't hear it in the last show, Bill O'Brien was asked, hey, remember when you took your quarterback out at half and you apologized to your football team for doing that? Do you remember that? And now you did it again here? Here's Bill O'Brien's answer.
I mean, I don't remember what I said. You probably have it on record of what I said at the time, but I don't remember. I've made my share of mistakes here, and we've also, as a staff, we've made our share of good decisions. You know, so we try to in 8 minutes, you know, try to, you know, evaluate the first half again, like I said to Mark. Try to make the best decision for the football team. That's what we're all about. We don't make knee-jerk decisions, you know.
Well, you kind of do.
No, they don't.
Okay, can you name...
So you think 30 minutes is knee-jerk? That's plenty of time to evaluate what you're trying to do.
So
don't make knee-jerk decisions.
With the whole offseason, from all of you, and draft night, which you said Tom Savage is our starter... All mini camps and all team activities, all spring, all camp, 3 months, 6 months of Tom Savage is our starter, Tom Savage is our starter, one half of football, beat it.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
So
did they win the division last year, though, John?
Well, we've got that one. We did win the AFC South twice. No, yesterday he said we won the AFC South back-to-back years. Got a new one. We got a new soundbite.
Well, I want to go from last year's record to back to back, and then to back. I want to go three in a row, and then to we don't make knee-jerk decisions. Can we get all three of those in a row?
I don't know. Del, do you have the other one ready?
We were 9-7. We won the AFC South. We've had a lot of good wins too. We won the AFC South 2 years in a row. We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Well done.
Del's the star.
well played, sir. So let me ask you a question. I'm just trying as hard as I could. Can you think of another coach that pulled his starting quarterback after one half in the first game of the football season?
One, you mean a team that doesn't make knee-jerk decisions?
Yes.
Ever?
Well, no. Those people make knee-jerk decisions, not Bill O'Brien.
Here's what I've never seen that I can ever remember. Non-injury, opening game, when you've endorsed the starter and said he's our guy, he knows best what's going on. I have not seen him get replaced at halftime. No.
One half.
I'll tell you what
else. And he's done it twice. He did it with Brian Hoyer 2 years ago, and he did it now. Let me ask you a question. Is that not knee-jerk?
Yeah, and you don't do it if there's a believability in the guy to play his way out of it. Now, my question is, at what point in time do you think, over the next 16 weeks, as we talked about yesterday, bears repeating, that offensive line is going to completely change, and you're not going to need a mobile guy to buy you time? Wasn't that the reason they made the decision? Wanted a guy that could scramble around and make a play and be elusive, right?
Uh-huh.
Is that going to change this week? Is there going to come a time when they're going to... Now, they may have a cleaner pocket this week, but at what point in time...
Why?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
If I'm the Bengals, I'm bringing the house.
Well, I said cleaner. I didn't say a clean pocket. I said cleaner than this past week.
Why?
Can't be worse,
why?
Can it?
No, why?
Well, you know how I feel about it.
Well,
you know who I'd be playing.
Well, here's the deal, is Deshaun will start if his ankle holds up. But I think that's the out. is that his ankle isn't 100%, so we're not going to start him.
So basically,
but let me ask you a question. If he is a little bit gimpy, is it not the smartest decision not to start him?
If he's over 90%, you play his ass.
Dude, he's got to be 110%. With that offensive line, he'll get killed. He'll get killed.
No, he's more mobile at 90% than Tom is at 100%.
I don't care. Let Tom Savage get killed. I don't want to kill the franchise.
Okay, but let me ask you this. But remember, we're doing what's best for the team to win games, right?
I want to save Deshaun's life.
Okay, so
I'm trying to save a life here.
Okay, so if Savage goes out and goes, let's say 13-24, and they win 13-10, does that get him a third game?
That's too unbelievable. It's too crazy.
No, that's could very easily happen.
Really?
You mean talking about the 13-10 with them winning
13 points?
I just
it's crazy.
So basically, the decision to go with Deshaun Watson for the rest of the time is just hinges on his. Once you put him in, he's in. It's his team.
Well, it should be.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
if you're going to take him out after one half, then what the hell? Of course, you got to play Deshaun Watson. But honestly, in the best interest of Deshaun Watson, is it not better for him after what you've seen with that offensive line? If he's gimpy at all, you can't play that dude.
And I think that will be their decision. I know what I would do if he came to me and the doctors cleared him and said he can play, he's 90%. I'm thinking about my body and say, okay, if my shoulder was 90%, would I go? Yeah, of course I would. Most would.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, Deshaun will say, yes, I'm going.
Yes,
Deshaun is going to say that. But if I'm them, I'm not saying that.
Yeah. Well, I just like I said, this decision. Listen, I've said it. I can watch a quarterback, and you can too. But when you watch the different points of a quarterback, you can tell eventually, most of the time, what you have. With Tom Savage, you have a pocket guy who doesn't move very much, who can throw the ball in a clean pocket, and I think has a chance to be a really solid backup and play in the league a long time, you know, a decade, whatever it is. That's a good long time. But he was really forced into this position, John. Had they had a veteran like Brian Hoyer or like somebody like that again, or Fitzpatrick, let's just go back to Tom Savage would not have started this year. They forced him in because they had a rookie that they didn't want to bring along.
Yeah.
So really, it was a guy you did everything you could to build his confidence, say Tom's going to be our guy after two starts, and he didn't finish. Now he hasn't finished a game because of an injury and didn't finish a game because of a benching. And I like I said, it's nice, and he can back. He seems to be a really good team guy. Savage does. Yeah. He does, and I like him for that. And I can't help but root for him simply because I understand his plight. Trust me, been there. But the other side of it is, the other guy's a far better player all the way around. Well, and there's a factor in him that Tom doesn't have. And sometimes, what do we say on this show? You got to take the L, right?
Right.
And you know how I felt. I would have started Deshaun Watson from OTAs, dude. I would from the time I drafted him, I would have said, you know what, we'll grow with him because even if we get him at 75% this season and lose one more game than we would have with Savage, which I don't think would be the case, then that's okay. But next year he'll be look at Carson Wentz. He's a bastard now, buddy. That's a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play through that stuff.
Well,
and they sucked last year offensively too.
There's a lot of questions from this, and we'll do this. Next is catch. We're going to talk University of Texas football, and then after that we'll get back to this quarterback situation. But right now I got to talk about Week 1 fantasy football in the books. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 Pick'em contest that's totally free to enter. Pick'em is the newest way to play one-week fantasy football, drafting your team faster than ever. DraftKings has organized players into 8 tiers. All you have to do is select one player from each tier. Choose between public contests with cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you play against people of similar skill level. The best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston. Play in DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. Promo code Houston to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. Contest totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try DraftKings, the game inside the game? Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony Desiri.
ESPN 97.5 reminds kids between 6 and 17 that if you're a CCA Texas member, you can fish in the 28th annual Star Tournament with a chance to win $25,000 or $50,000 in scholarships. Texans coach Bill O'Brien did not name a starter for Thursday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Tom Savage pulled against the Jaguars for rookie Deshaun Watson. Also, the Texans have five players dealing with concussions this week, including all three of their tight ends, both the Bengals and Texans coming off week one losses. The Astros back to work tonight in Anaheim to take on the Angels. Astros looking to snap a four-game losing skid. They'll send Justin Verlander to the bump. He's making his second start for Houston since coming from a trade with the Tigers. He'll go up against Garrett Richards. I'm Tony Desiri, ESPN 97.5.
Now shopping for your family can earn you free gas.
Fill her up, Mom!
That's because you can use Plenty Points to save money on Synergy fuel at participating Exxon and Mobil stations, the exclusive gas partners of the Plenty Rewards program. You'll get $2 in savings on gas for every 200 Plenty Points you redeem. How great is that? So download the Plenty app and activate bonus fuel offers from Exxon and Mobil today.
Way to go, Mom!
Total amount of savings depends on points earned. Maximum of 2,500 points per gas purchase. See Plenty.com for details.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
As a business owner, you work hard to ensure the health and success of your company. You probably don't have enough time in your day, and having a little extra help would be nice. Equifi has discovered five critical areas you can monitor that directly impact the bottom line so your company stays healthy and strong. We think these areas might surprise you. Download the Healthy Business Checklist today at healthybusinesschecklist.com. It's free, it's simple, and only takes seconds to strengthen your business. Download it now at healthybusinesschecklist.com. That's healthybusinesschecklist.com. Powered by Equifi.
You want a dump trailer? Who doesn't? Trailer Well and Frame is fully stocked with dump trailers and all your trailer needs. Trailer Well and Frame is open stock with trailers, rentals, parts, tires, accessories, and trailer service. Trailer Well and Frame and trailerwheel.com.
Listen this Sunday at 3 p.m. as the Dallas Cowboys take on the Denver Broncos right here on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like. Saltgrass Steakhouse, saltgrass.com.
Unfiltered, live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Sean Salisbury.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Trying not to get catch again. He's unbelievable. Last week he said, oh, I'm sorry, I was in a movie. He was in a movie. And is he getting him? Yeah, he's here. Last week at this time, Ketch was in a movie. This week, he's here with us on ESPN 97.5. Ketch, what's up?
I am here for you. You're right. No movie for me this week. Maybe I'll go see one later. I don't know.
What movie did you see?
That's a good question. I don't even remember.
It was that memorable.
It was so memorable that 7 days later, I don't know.
Tell you a movie you got to see. You have got to see Wind River, Ketch. It's the people who did, if you like the people who did Hell or High Water, Sicario and Hell or High Water, you got to go see it, man. You're a movie
That's
guy.
That's what I needed. I'm so glad. I just got a great movie review. I may go see that today.
Yeah, go see it. I think you'll like it. It's a It's a gut-wrenching, but it's a good, it's a thriller. Jeremy Renner's in it. You'll like it, man. I think you'll like it.
Let me ask you a question. You got two little ones, don't you?
Yes.
So you tell your wife you're working and you're going to see movies?
No, they're both 3 years old. They both went to their little school, and the wife and I snuck away together to go see a matinee.
Oh, that's nice.
Love
good look at you. Look at you.
Love Ketch, man.
That's
love
awesome.
Matinees. My kind of guy.
All right, Jeff Ketchum's here to talk about the Longhorns. All right, so after week one and the loss to Maryland, and everybody is heartbroken and throwing stuff at the team, then 56-0. Okay. Where are we with? Are we back on Tom Herman's bandwagon or no?
Well, I mean, I think if you were on Tom Herman's bandwagon, you probably should have stayed on it. I don't know that the Maryland game should completely shake you of that, but I think this team's somewhere in between the two performances that it's had. It has a really tough schedule. It's got to grow up fast. And, you know, I think Tom Herman underestimated. I think he looked at the roster and he sees the talent. And I think he thought this would be easier. There's a lot of the disease of losing that's in this program that's kind of rotted the program to the core that still needs to be removed. So this team is very much a work in progress. Rome wasn't built in a day, and this Longhorn football team isn't going to be built in a day either.
And did he address Urban Meyer giving him crap about fairy dust?
Not really. Because, you know, I think had they won that game, Tom, and it was just Tom Herman or Urban Meyer, you know, complaining about something that Tom had said and just in general, then I think he might have even taken it on. Last week wasn't the week. Last week was not the week for him to allow himself to get kind of caught up in the distraction, because that was a bad performance in that opener. That was a bad football team that played a bad game. It was so colossal in its totality that I think he realized that there were bigger fish to fry. And ironically, you know, I think Texas fans did all the trolling for him when Ohio State lost over the weekend. Maybe Urban Meyer should have been focused on his team as much as Tom Herman was.
Ketch, and you mentioned about he had bigger fish to fry, and I am a Tom Herman fan, huge. I think he knows how to fix things quickly. I mean, if there's a harsh judge after the Maryland game, don't you think he would have judged himself harder than anybody, including his players, and that's why he knew that staying the course would be just fine?
Yeah, I think he was shaken by that game.
Yep.
When he did the press conference on Monday, it had not quite been 48 hours, but he still looked like a guy that was still trying to process what the hell happened. And, yeah, it was just wrong week. I think in any other week, Tom Herman likes to scrap. I think he likes to get into word games. And it just was the wrong time and place for him to engage in that, just like he didn't tweet last week. You know, Tom Herman loves him some Twitter, and before the season, you would have been hard-pressed, even in the hours leading up to the game, he was tweeting, and then they lost to Maryland, and he disappeared off Twitter. If he's not going to tweet, he's not going to go back and forth with Urban either.
Jeff Ketchum, OrangeBloods.com, OrangeBloods.com, right here with us every week, talking Texas football. Power rank the Big 12 right now.
Well, Oklahoma was so impressive on Saturday. It was just the kind of performance that's been lacking from that program by and large for a lot of years. Just to go in there and impose their will on Ohio State was, you know, I was more impressed with the second half of that game, a little bit like I was when they played Alabama a few years ago. And then I think the performances outside of those two things have been far and few between. Oklahoma's a clear number one. Oklahoma State's number two. And it's weird because Bedlam is in the middle of the season this year because of the Big 12 championship game. They're going to play that game in Stillwater midway through the season, and you could have the pole position for a playoff spot, and maybe even the pole position for the Heisman could be at stake when those two teams meet later this season. I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit with Mason Rudolph, but clearly Baker Mayfield is in that conversation. Those two teams, to me, are head and shoulders above everybody else. I think there is a middle tier of teams that you're talking about, Kansas State, you're potentially talking about a TCU, maybe somebody like West Virginia. And I think the goal for Texas, they've got to find a way in the next – I was talking about this yesterday. This team's going to be better at the end of the season. Its problem is that the front part of its schedule is loaded with USC, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. So what they've got to figure out a way to do is survive this opening half of the season. If they can be 500 or 4-3, and 3-4 sounds terrible, but if they can, that means they will have won one of those games to get there. And maybe they can finish the season strong and maybe get to 8-4 or something like that at the end of the year. But when you look at where this team is now and you look at the teams that they have to play, I mean, I think it's hard to put Texas anywhere other than in the middle to the bottom half of the pack right now in the Big 12. And it's a program and a team that just has a lot of proving to do to themselves, to Tom Herman, I think to the entire nation that, you know, in a way, it's kind of become a joke every time Texas is in a game to say Texas is back. It's been said so many times, and it's been false so many times that now it's kind of a catchphrase joke. And Texas has got to be Texas has got to start. It's going to be a slow climb, but I think if they go to U, and Texas fans will hate me for saying this. If they go to USC this weekend, it can be competitive for four quarters on the road against a team far superior to them, then this will have been a good week. This is a week where a moral victory wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, even if Texas fans, and I'm one of these guys that always says it's a disappointing season at Texas if they don't win a Big 12 championship or go to a big bowl game. They haven't done that a lot in the last 20 years. But I think this week could be a week for moral victories. And if you show up on Monday morning, you don't have to hide your head because the team played well for four quarters and gave a top five team on the road a really good game. I think that wouldn't be a terrible thing.
Texas is back, folks.
That's mean of you guys. Texas was back. They might be back sooner than later. With Tom Herman, they will be back.
They're going to kick USC's ass.
Well, which leads me to this, Ketch. What is... SC probably is the best with their running game and Darnold. They're probably the best dual run and pass team in the country. How is Texas going to defend that?
Well, they probably won't. even the team, you know, they got a shutout last week, but it was still a pass. But they played the run really well. But there were plays to be made in the passing game for San Jose State. They just didn't have good enough players to take advantage of the busted coverages. USC will just rip Texas apart unless they take an even bigger step from a week ago. And Texas's problem is this. It doesn't have the quarterback play to go on the road. Because when you look at this game, one of two things has to happen. Either the defense can stifle the USC offense enough that Texas's own deficiencies at quarterback and on offense can kind of meet them in the middle. And if that can't happen, then it has to lean on the Texas offense to raise its level of game to go toe-to-toe with a Sam Darnold. And you mentioned it, the talent they have on that side of the ball is so good. The problem Texas has is I don't know that either of those options are possible. So if your defense can't limit USC and your quarterback can't match USC play for play, it leaves you in an unwinnable position. Texas isn't the biggest underdog of all time, but this will be a very difficult game for them. Well, unless they can get scoring plays out of their defense and their special teams, it's hard to map together a way for them to win this game.
Is this team has been about as poor at tackling as any program in the country? Why can't he solve this?
If I had the question, I would be charging the Longhorn program $1 million a year to give them my insight. I don't know why Texas can't tackle, and I don't know why. There's a bigger conversation to be had. It's not necessarily about Texas. It's about the proliferation of 7-on-7 in the state of Texas. And after the last 15, 16 years, the totality that I think it's taken, you know, remember a year ago, there wasn't a team in the state of Texas that finished the year ranked in the top 25. When you look at this year, A&M is down and Texas is down and TCU seems to be on the way back up, but Baylor is wretched. And it's hard to find college football right now in the state of Texas that's being played at a high level. And I do think some of the evolution, you know, because it's weird. When I first got into this industry, the state of Texas was known as a state that ran the veer in 80% of the programs in the country, and it produced linemen and tight ends and linebackers and running backs. And now it's a state that when you look at its best talent, it's quarterbacks, it's wide receivers, and typically it's DBs. It's kind of 7-on-7 athletes. And I think that I don't know that anybody would have ever anticipated this, but I do think that there's an impact across the board on the quality of play based on what the Texas high schools are producing right now. There just might be too many teams that are playing basketball on turf, and I think it's impacting the schools that are taking those pieces of talent from the high school level to the next level. They're not nearly as developed physically in terms of, I think, the basics of the game the way they used to be.
Could well be. But you know what? That's what college coaches are for, to develop kids.
And well, Todd Orlando's getting paid $1 million to get that stuff right. So, you know, that's an excuse. Like, it's an excuse and it's also a reason, but you're exactly right. Other schools have states that play, you know, spread offensive football, and they're finding a way to get it done. I don't know why Texas isn't.
So, all right, we got to go. Okay, so we got David Bailiff next. We're going to talk about that win over UTEP. Catch is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank every week right here on ESPN 97.5. Catch, we appreciate it, man.
You got it, man. Be well.
Thanks, bud.
All right, why don't you tell people about being a champion?
Yeah, Champion Energy, 281-653-5090, 281-653-5090. My promo code's ESPN, championenergyservices.com. It's the Money and Power 12-month plan, guys. You get free weekends free, midnight Friday to midnight Sunday. You get $100 in Visa cards, and J.D. Power & Associates loves Champion. That's why they're ranked so high in customer satisfaction. Do it. I mean, get rid of the stress. Aren't you tired of stress? And, oh, gosh, we're running the air conditioner. I can't believe how much it's going to cost us. I mean, aren't you tired of that? Aren't you friggin' tired of that? Well, guess what? You can fix that. Not only with getting the best rate when you go to championenergyservices.com, use my promo code ESPN, but with this Money and Power 12-month plan, that $100 in Visa cards and that power to know that only 5 days of the week you're paying for. Midnight Friday to midnight Sunday. Take that stress away. It's championenergyservices.com. If you choose Champion Energy and use my promo code at ESPN, just use ESPN at championenergyservices.com, 281-653-5090. The Money and Power 12-month plan can kick in immediately. And you can also set your service up if you're moving 6 months from now. Set your service up right away. Make that call or go to Champion Energy Services now. ChampionEnergyServices.com. Use my promo code ESPN for that special discounted rate.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
Are you a healthy male between 18 and 39 with a post-high school education? Fairfax Cryobank is looking for you to help others build happy, healthy families. Average $4,000 in 6 months once accepted. Visit BeASpermDonor.com to learn more. That's BeASpermDonor.com.
HoustonCarsForKids.com. Donate that old clunker right now to the Houston Cannon Academies. Fill out the form. They'll be in touch. They'll pick it up. They'll take care of the paperwork. Mention you heard it on ESPN 97.5. Get a $50 gift card. HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
Beef or shrimp, shrimp or beef. Stop torturing yourself with impossible decisions. At Uberito, you don't have to pick favorites. Right now, get the surf and turf sensation, shrimp and beef. A double meat bonanza for only $10. Grilled and seasoned to perfection, prepared just the way you want it in a burrito or bowl. The only question you have to ask yourself is, when do I eat? It's a summer surf and turf sensation at Uberito, above and beyond the basic burrito. Some conditions apply. See store for details.
For years, you've been thinking about LASIK,
You've been talking about LASIK, and now there's never been a better time to do something about LASIK. Right now, LASIK Plus is offering LASIK starting at just $250 per eye. If you're nearsighted, farsighted, or have an astigmatism, LASIK Plus, America's most recommended LASIK provider, can help fix your vision for only $250, our best price ever. So get rid of the daily hassles of contacts and glasses and enjoy the newfound freedom of LASIK from LASIK Plus. Call 844-261-2020 today and schedule your free LASIK exam. Dr. Stephen Whiteside has performed over 25,000 procedures and is one of the most experienced LASIK surgeons in Texas. So take advantage of this amazing $250 price today. Call 844-261-2020 or visit LASIK250.com. Results may vary. Restrictions apply. See details at LASIK250.com.
Listening to Unfiltered, live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Sean Salisbury.
All right, welcome back. Time to bring in the head coach of the Rice Owls, David Bailiff, joining us like he does every week right here on ESPN 97.5, and he's brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank as well. Coach, what's going on?
Just, we had a nice win, put it behind us because the Bayou Bucket's coming.
How about that?
Working on those Cougars.
How about that? And they looked pretty good going to Arizona, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, that's a good win, but you had a good win yourself going to UTEP and playing a good clean football game.
We did. You know what? We were a physical football team. Our offense and defensive line, really, we won that game in the trenches. We rushed for over 300 yards, and we held them to 26 yards, held them to 1.1 a carry. And it was from start to finish. I thought our offense, defense, and special teams all performed very well.
6 yards a carry is pretty good.
Yes, I'll take that every week.
I guess you will. And then 1.1, how'd you do that?
You know what? The defense was just unbelievably aggressive. I mean, Brian Stewart has brought a new energy, and it was incredible to watch. And we had the 4 sacks. You know, had a couple those sacks that knocked some yardage off. But they really held them in check all night. The one of their touchdowns was a fourth and short where a receiver got behind one of our corners on a play action, and the other long play they had, they thought our guys went to the sideline, thought he'd stepped out, didn't want to get a penalty, so we told him next time just take the penalty. Well, I was pleased. You know, Brian Womack played extremely well defensively. Blaine Padgett and Emmanuel Ellerby. And offensively, Nashawn Ellerby averaged 5.7 a carry, and so Sam Stewart averaged 5.6, and Sam went over 100 yards in total offense again. And Calvin Anderson, our big left tackle, was just a dominating player in that game. So it was great to watch. And the redshirt freshman, Jordan Meyer from Dickerson, got his first action as a Rice Owl and had 4 receptions, had 3 carries for 29 yards. So we're really pleased.
Good stuff. David Bailiff here on ESPN 97.5.
Sorry. Coach, I'm curious. Are they ahead of, you know, with what's happened in Houston and the Hurricane Harvey stuff, and we had discussed that. Are they ahead of the pace you thought they'd be at after that had happened?
Well, I tell you, you know, one of the things that we were talking to them about all the way back in Fort Worth was the new normal, and we talked about it. As you grow up, they're experiencing something that, you know, usually happens to you after you graduate from college, that you got to learn to compartmentalize as men, and you have a job to do, and it doesn't matter what happens to you in life, you know, you got to provide for your family. You got to get up, and that's what this game teaches us. This game is just like life, and tragically, a lot of these young men have learned a hard lesson, and they also know that this city and this university is doing all they can to help get them back on track, and I think that helps put it behind us. And you know, really, the only time something catastrophic happens is you rely on this team, because you know, it's a 4 hours where you forget your troubles and you come over here and you just try to get better as men and as football players.
Back to Ellerby and Padgett leading the way with 9 and 7 tackles. Preston Gordon was up there as well, Coach. That's, if you could have your way every week, those would be your leaders, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, Blaine is a is one of our dominant defensive players, and Emmanuel's the preseason defensive player of the year in the conference. It was great to see Preston Gordon. And Zach Abercrombie, our nose guard, didn't have the numbers, but he dominated the game and changed the course of the running back a lot and allowed those other guys to make those plays. So that the whole D-line was magnificent.
Yeah. Blaine with a sack and a half, two and a half tackles for loss. Abercrombie half a tackle for loss. Grayson Chance as well. Justin Bickham got back there as well.
Yeah, Bickham played. We brought him on a corner blitz and he had a sack. But it was a great team football game. I mean, and everybody performed. We had the one turnover on a fourth down where we ran a quarterback sneak and got the first down, then fumbled the darn ball. You know, and that was deep in the red zone. That was on the 4-yard line. So we left some points out there, and you know, for us to have any opportunity at Houston, we can't make those kind of mistakes we did in El Paso.
Yeah, Coach, I was going to say their team speed and Ed Oliver. I mean, this is a really, really, really good non-Big Five power team.
Yeah, now you know what Ed Oliver is everything as build. You come back, you're happy, and then you put that film on, and you think, you have to be kidding me. You know, he had 11 tackles in that game, and he absolutely – their defense was suffocating, and Ed Oliver leads the charge. He's an incredible player.
Have you seen – it's not often you play against the team, and we talk about guys that you got a game play. You got to know where Ed Oliver is all the time.
You know, you have to. And even when you know where he is, he's got an innate ability to know where the football is. There's a lot of things – like you coach a guy that, you know, if you have the A gap, you do your job. He's got the ability and the exact timing of when he knows when that running back's made the cut to the other gap, and he can spin and make the play. I mean, that's hard to do, you know, that the running back, he's quicker than the running back's coming at him. I mean, he can run. It was. You know, like I said, when you sit there and watch a nose guard take over a football game, you don't see that very often.
That's a full-grown man playing football.
I'm not sure
there.
He couldn't be a free safety. He runs so well. I think we're just thankful he's a nose guard, not coming down the alley at you.
What'd you think of Kyle Allen in his debut there?
I thought Kyle was solid. You know, I think they've got the big running back from Texas, the quarterback from A&M. They have... You know, they're solid in their offensive lines, big. Their receivers are what you expect out of UAH team. They're big, tall, catch the ball extremely well at high point. They're physical and they're blocking. You know, they're a very solid football team.
But Coach, this is the game that we got to have every year, right? I mean, this is good.
Yeah, I don't know how. I can promise you this. When Tony Levine and I found out we weren't playing it, we weren't happy. It's one I think it should be. Every year should be the opening game of college football.
Yeah, the rivalries are too important. I agree, in the city.
You know, it's just incredible. You know, we've done a 26,000-mile round trip to play a game, and I think we're about to do 12. I'd much rather go 12 miles.
Yeah, no kidding. Coach, you mentioned the ability that you can't turn it over and you got to play smart against Houston to win or have a chance to win the game. But there is a fine line between, hey, let's play not to lose it, but you also want to be aggressive and cut it loose, too. So there's a fine line with these kids on how to teach that.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, we're going to have to cut it loose, but we can't fumble a quarterback sneak after we pick up a first down. You know, this is a game where you got to win the turnover battle. Absolutely have to. You know, take some opportunities away from them to score and be smart. And if you get penalties, they better be aggressive ones.
David Bailiff, hey, Coach, best of luck. It's going to be a good one.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate
great day.
It. Good luck, Coach.
All right, brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank right here on ESPN 97.5. That's a good win. That's a good win going
over
there.
Yeah, it sure is. They're going to have their hands full this week. It was a big win for Houston taking on Arizona's run game last week,
too. Well, you got that monster, huh? 11 tackles.
Yeah, that's a full-grown man, like you said.
Conference player of the week.
Football playing Jesse is what I call him.
Who calls people football playing Jessies?
Well, it's a little old school saying, John.
Nobody says that.
Yes, we actually
school.
Do.
I mean, it's old. I haven't heard it in a while.
Some of the guys in our league actually do.
No.
Yeah, they actually do.
Football playing Jesse.
Yes.
It hasn't been said by anyone on TV in years.
Anyone under 90.
Well, most of those guys on TV don't know their ass from their mouth. So really? There
well,
you go.
You know, one guy who's been removed from my life is Vern Lundquist. I couldn't be happier. I was like, oh, I had forgot about the Vern thing, and I turned on the TCU Arkansas game. Oh, look, it's Brad Nessler. It's like, yes.
Leave Vernon alone.
Dude, why
no Vern? Guys' names were mistaken. Brad on the opening kickoff didn't get the guy's name wrong, like Vern has want to do a couple times.
Truth, there's a lot of good guys on TV. I'm kidding, and Vern was one of the good ones.
Not the last 5 or 6 years.
Hall of Famer.
Why are you hating on Vernon?
I'm just pointing out. Yeah, that's true, but not the last five. Willie Mays was a Hall of Famer, too. Wasn't good at the end of his career.
Why you got to bring Willie into it?
You bringing up Hall of Famers. Vern might have been Hall of Famer.
Kobe wasn't good at his last year either, was he?
In his final game, he did score like 60 points.
Well,
Tom Brady wasn't good in his last game.
Well, I know he blows. He's 40.
Who's got the worst completion percentage in the NFL right now?
Vern had a monster performance in his last game, too.
No, he didn't.
Okay.
No, he didn't. That's a lie.
No. The Army-Navy game? He was money.
Pretty sure he was butchering.
He was crying.
I'm pretty sure he was messing up Army players throughout the game.
What do you think he called the Navy coach?
Ken. Yeah, Coach Ken.
A wise move.
That is a wise move.
That's hard to pronounce.
And Brady sucks.
Sure he does.
Worst completion percentage in the league.
He's terrible.
Yeah. So you're going to be one of those guys that says he's done?
He's done.
Okay.
All right. Worst in the league.
Okay. Yep.
Done.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Stay tuned.
Who's got the worst completion percentage in the league? Can't complete a pass.
You keep an eye. Don't they play New Orleans this week?
0-1.
Yeah, keep an eye on Brady.
On the road?
Yeah. Well,
Brady sucks.
I know. Sure he does. We've heard this. I've seen this movie
before. 0-2.
0-2.
Sure he
does. Then they got Miami. 0-3. No. Then they got the Texans. 0-3.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, I know about that.
Maybe 1-2.
Oh, I know about that.
Maybe 1-2.
Okay. There's no way they can beat the Texans in New England. There's no chance. No chance they win that game. Texans will be favored by 2 touchdowns.
Are they? Will the Texans score 2 touchdowns could be the total before
points,
that game?
Could be the biggest point spread of the year.
Will the Texans have more than 2 touchdowns, period, on offense before that game starts? They have one, so that means they have to score 2 against Cincinnati. Do they score 2?
They score 3 against or 4.
3 or 4?
Right.
Offensive?
Offensive. Huh. Maybe 6 or 7. You don't know with this explosive offense?
I don't. Do you know what explosive means?
Yep.
You think
it blew up. It blew up last week.
Yeah.
You think it's one of the most explosive offenses in the country.
Yes. You know what else is explosive? Week 1 of fantasy football. The Sunday DraftKings hosting a $100,000 Pick'em contest. Totally free to enter. Pick'em is the newest way to play 1 week fantasy football. Drafting your team is faster than ever. DraftKings is organized into 8 tiers. All the players into 8 tiers. All you have to do is select one player from each tier. It's simple. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you play against people of similar skill level. Best part is you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So go to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston. Play in DraftKings. King's free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code Houston to compete for your share of $100,000 total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try DraftKings? The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a Zadok Jewelers ESPN 97.5 Sports Update.
Zadok Jewelers, Houston's premier luxury jeweler for more than 40 years.
Here's Tony Desiri.
ESPN 97.5 reminds kids between 6 and 17 that if you're a CCA Texas member, you can fish in the 28th annual Star Tournament with a chance to win $25,000 or $50,000 in scholarships. The Texans on a short week as they face the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. Both teams coming off week one losses. Head coach Bill O'Brien did not name a starter at quarterback. Tom Savage pulled against the Jaguars for rookie Deshaun Watson. He had 2 fumbles in that game. 5 Texans are also dealing with concussions, including all 3 tight ends. Justin Verlander getting the start tonight for the Astros in Anaheim to face the Angels. His 2nd start for Houston since coming over in that trade with Detroit. The Astros looking to snap a 4-game losing skid as they continue their West Coast road trip. I'm Tony Desiri, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report.
presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
Stocks are looking to extend yesterday's rally as worldwide markets are up once again today, led by Japan, up more than 1% in overnight trade. Europe is up across the board as the relief rally continues. The relief that Irma wasn't as bad as expected, that North Korea didn't test a missile, that UN sanctions against North Korea have been instituted but somewhat watered down. Now today, for at least one company, is going to be a very big day. Apple introducing its new iPhone, iPad, and other devices like Apple TV. And we'll watch the stock. It was up sharply in yesterday's trade. The major market averages are at or near record highs as Apple has a big day both on Wall Street and in Silicon Valley today. Other markets, we're seeing gold and U.S. bonds sell off. The safe haven trade coming off again today. Gold is down about $8. Yields on the 10-year note rising to about 2.16%, up sharply in the last couple of days. The dollar steady against key foreign currencies. Oil's up about 14 cents in the early going this morning.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm David Gao, founder of Gao Media. Do you know that our company has worked with just one bank, Texas Citizens Bank? The team at Texas Citizens Bank understands our business, and they've been our trusted partners for almost 10 years. We deeply value our relationship with Texas Citizens Bank, and you will as well. Texas Citizens Bank, it's the official bank of Gao Media.
Texas Citizens Bank specializes in providing owner-managed businesses a full array of customized banking services. TexasCitizensBank.com.
Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Beth, remember me? My wife and I were at Darling Way last week.
Of course, Dave. It was fun helping y'all find ways to spice love up.
And ever since, we haven't had such passion in years. She suddenly feels so sexy. It's almost like we're dating again.
Yay! It's love, Darling Way style.
Heck, I even told our friends about Darling Way. We're sending them over, too.
Aw, thanks, Dave. I'll be waiting for them.
Visit Darling Way at 3423 White Oak Drive in the Heights and online at darlingway.com. Darling Way, they really do make love fun again.
Unfiltered, live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Sean Salisbury.
All right, 1149 ESPN 97.5. All right, power rank the college quarterbacks right now.
What anyway, by what we've seen this year?
By what we've seen this year. Who would be number one?
Lamar Jackson.
Okay, they've got him number two.
Baker Mayfield.
Baker, they've got him number four.
Sam Darnold. I'm just going to the top five. You can Darnold, Rosen, and Mason Rudolph.
They got Rosen one, and I'm okay with that.
You should be.
Well, what he did. Yep. Lamar Jackson two, and I'm okay with that. They got Darnold three, and if we're going by, okay, last year and this year, but if you're just talking about right now, this year, we're ranking the quarterbacks. He can't be in the top 10. He's got four touchdowns and four interceptions.
I know, but if you've seen one touchdown, one was a spectacular interception. Yeah, no, I'm not. He's not going to win the Heisman Trophy because he didn't throw it. But the way you watch him play, Sam Darnold's one of the five best quarterbacks in the country.
I'm not saying
this year.
I'm not saying
the way he's played,
but not the way he's played. Not the way he's played.
Did you watch him against Stanford?
Well, did you watch him against?
I watched both games.
Yeah, did you watch him against Western Michigan?
Yeah, but he was what?
But I'm saying, like, okay, let's see. Okay, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah,
has he played better?
Better than Darnold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is Mason Rudolph?
Yes.
Yes. Josh Allen, I haven't seen, but his numbers are.
No, Josh Allen threw a couple picks in the open,
yeah.
And he plays at Wyoming.
And he plays at
his schedule. And go back to Mason Rudolph. I would have Mason Rudolph ahead of Darnold in the Heisman Trophy, but Mason Rudolph has also played two hack teams.
So that's why
Darnold beat Stanford and why USC's back to number four.
Jake Browning, they got number seven.
He's had a really good start to his season.
Yep. Luke Falk, number eight. He had a rough one.
Well, he was playing well until he got hurt.
Well, he was. He's only threw for 193 yards.
But he got hurt.
Right. But
the other
still
guy came in the second half and played his ass off.
Right. Justin Herbert, they got ninth.
He's played pretty good football.
He's played good. Well, really well. That's the Oregon quarterback. And Shea Patterson, they got 10. Drew Locke fell out, and Jared Stidham fell out of the top 10.
Stidham hasn't played hasn't dominated either game.
You know, in this all this Auburn talk, it was a little premature because Jared Stidham has not played a lot of football. So maybe it's going to take him a little bit of time.
He's played average the first two games.
Yes.
I can understand how you'd put in the – Darnold should be in the top five, but I would have Mayfield ahead of Darnold for sure.
Uh-huh.
I would right now.
Okay, and we asked this question.
But Rosen's played – if you're talking about just pure quarterback position, Rosen and Lamar Jackson have been the two best this year.
Okay.
And Mayfield in that same group. Rosen throws the ball as pretty as anybody in the world. And
Mayfield, right? Too. I mean, he was.
Mayfield's just an all around playmaker, man. Better all around playmaker. Rosen's the better passer, obviously.
So you've got Alabama's football team. If I could give you any quarterback, which one would it be?
Alabama's team?
Let's say Clemson's team.
Oh, the way they are in their system?
No, whatever system you want to play.
Oh, because with Clemson's team and their defense, I think, and this is not, and you know how I felt about it, has nothing to, he's got great feet. Darnold's a very elusive guy. He, in a way, he throws balls in tight windows, and a pick that Clemson defense can overcome, I would take him there.
You would take Darnold?
I would in that system. Yes.
Okay, if it was Alabama's system.
I'd probably, because
I would take him there.
They play a pro style too. But what I'm saying is, Darnold still can flag the fake and get outside. They would allow him to drop back and throw it more. Baker Mayfield would fit the way they call plays better in Clemson.
Yeah.
And Alabama's more Darnold style.
Well, let's just say you could pick any style you want. Which quarterback would you want to lead your team to a championship?
Right now, of the five of any quarterback in the country, it would come down for me. The way Lamar Jackson's playing is really good. I just don't know. I would go between – I love Mayfield's leadership and playmaking abilities, but he also can get careless at times. And I love the way Darnold can escape and throw it. It'd be one of those two of the five – the five or ten we mentioned. One of those two. Rosen's not mobile enough for me.
No, yeah, he's also won four games.
Yeah, and I don't
– Well, he was hurt. He got hurt.
Here's what I do know about Darnold and Mayfield among everybody. They can win with anybody around them.
Yep.
They both make everybody around them better. And they both can carry on a team. Mayfield, obviously, more elusive and more erratic, but erratic in a way that I love. He's a hell of a playmaker and a great leader. And Darnold's he can make great throws on the run. He can make – the problem with Darnold is he's got those guts that he thinks he can make every throw.
Here's the problem when we were talking about it, and Dell took Lamar Jackson.
And I get that, too.
I get that, too. But who would you trust more? You're losing by three with 2 minutes left, and he's got to throw you. You're on your own 20.
Two minutes left, and I got to throw to win.
Well, you're on your own 20, and you're down. You're down four. Yeah, and you got timeouts. You still got to throw the football. I would trust Mayfield more than I would trust
Jackson. I guess I probably would a little bit too, because I think he's. I love his leadership, but you know what the truth is? I've seen what Mayfield's done in some big games, and I've seen what Darnold's done in big games. But then again, you look at Lamar Jackson. What, didn't he rip Clemson to shreds last year? And we'll get a chance
in Florida State.
Beat
Houston.
It would have to come down to a system. I have no timeouts. I'd probably want a guy like Lamar Jackson because he can run for 40 yards on a broken play. I get it. I do get it. Now, if you're saying we're down by 12, we need two touchdowns, there are 3 minutes to go, and we got to drop back and rip it, it's going to be Rosen or Darnold. I'm talking about we're going to pass every down. It's one of those two. But if I'm within a touchdown and I got to use feet as well as arm to get back into it, while Darnold's got really good feet, he's still a pure passer, I would take Mayfield or Jackson. Rosen or Darnold in an all-pass situation, Mayfield or Jackson in a we've got 2.5 minutes, no timeouts, but man, feeder that scramble for 12 yards on a first down. One of those two,
Mayfield can do both of those.
Though. That's I think that Mayfield may be the best leader in a country. I mean, just the way his energy. There's nobody in the football who plays at any position anywhere in college football who plays with more energy than the guy. But he can at times try to do too much. Because that's how he lives, man. He's an edge liver, man. And when he's right, he could close his eyes and start making plays when he's right. But you get into a game where they're playing from behind and he has to force some things, he gets a little careless with the football. But you don't have to convince me on him. And the crazy thing about it, he's probably not going to get. But if you're going to draft, I look at them both. If you're drafting Manziel in the first round and you're not going to draft Mayfield in the first round, Mayfield's a better football player than Manziel ever was.
Yeah.
all around football.
Well, and he's a better pro prospect and, well, anyway, and he's just a bigger, because of the
stronger
size,
body.
Yeah.
But he's as good as Johnny was for that moment in time, and he was spectacular. If you're just talking about a better player for your team on a daily basis, I trust Mayfield far more than I would have Manziel.
Yeah,
and I trust Lamar. And Lamar Jackson about 6'3", 220.
Both of them like the party now, though. Both of them like the party. I love that about him.
Yeah.
Johnny likes the party, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I think so. That's or he liked to anyway. I enjoyed that about him.
I think Johnny's done partying.
Oh, do you?
No.
Do you, though?
No,
do you?
Actually, no, I don't.
Do you?
I don't think Johnny's done partying.
You know who's not done? Jeff Aronoff.
He's just heard of him?
Have you ever heard of Jeff Aronoff?
I've heard of Del Aronoff.
Why you disrespect him?
There you go.
Why are you putting Aronoff on Dell?
Wipe. Yeah. Sean, I call you a friend. I come to your house. I supply you with all the marble you could ask for. And yet, you disrespect me. What have I done to make you treat me so disrespectfully?
What has he done? I don't know.
I'm the marble godfather.
He sure is.
That's right.
That's
right. Jeff Aronoff, the marble godfather.
Yes, he's the marble godfather. What I need you to do, my friends, is call Jeff Aronoff, the marble godfather, to your home and tell him, hey, marble godfather, can you please, with all due respect, I will kiss your pinky ring.
No, that's my voice. Why would they be talking to me like me?
Hey, godfather.
Hey, godfather.
And come to my house. I need you, godfather. And listen, and when you get Jeff Aronoff to the house, say, I want my 20% off, godfather. I want my 20% off now, okay? He's going to come to your house absolutely free estimate on anything that you need done with your marble, your tile. And after all of this, I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff needing to be replaced. If you do have all that stuff, you know, all the tile that was lifted up on your back patio or front patio, whatever it is, Jeff Aronoff can replace all of that. Ruined your countertops because of the water. If it got up that high, that's terrible. Jeff Aronoff will replace that. The vanities that you lost, all of those things. Jeff Aronoff is here for you. You give him a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. You want your 20% off at Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.